Like, remember, Adam was supposed to be the gatekeeper. God said to him, guard this garden and keep it. He did not do what he was supposed to have done, and that's why Satan had a way into their lives. Do you understand the point I'm making there? So you see, you are supposed to be a gatekeeper. So you watch your thoughts. You know, people don't realize it. They handle life from a very wrong level. They take trees, all right, and they are cutting the leaves. And every year, when rain falls, the tree, all right, you know, grows again. Where God says, go to the root. Are you getting my point? Go to the root. Don't just try and handle the leaves. Many of the problems we are trying to, you know, tackle in life, they come from wrong ideas. Now, if you look at the door that leads to this hall, it's relatively small compared to what is in the space inside. That's how doors are. Doors usually are small things. But what they lead to is not small. You go to a stadium. How many people can pass through the gate at a time? Okay, big gate, all right. 15 here. The other gate, 15. All right, maybe 20. So at a time, 60 people. But that stadium will conveniently seat 20,000. That's how doors are. And I'm saying to you again, your thoughts, they are what? Doors. That's why I say you're a doorkeeper. What will enter into your life passes through your thoughts. There are people that, you know, I told you last time that there's a material I'm supposed to get ready. I have not even written it. It's titled, I Need to Know. You want to marry a man? Forget how he looks or how she looks. Talk to the person. It's how somebody reasons that determines what he or her future will be like. It's thoughts. People think it's about labor. You go out, you go and work harder, work harder, work harder. Listen, if you keep working harder, 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 it does not produce anything different. You know, you just be having more of what you were having before. Unless you change your mind. And that's why Jesus, he laid hands on the sick, they got well. When he saw people, poor people, he said, wait, there's no laying of hands. You go and check the scriptures, he refused. If you say, okay, lay hands on me now so that I will prosper. Jesus said, I'm sorry, I didn't come with that kind of anointing. If you are sick, we lay hands on you, you get well. If you are dead, it's even better. We'll wake you up from the dead. That is, it's easier to raise the dead. You don't get what I'm saying. When Jesus saw the poor, he said, wait, sit down there. John, make sure they come back every day for the next 2 months. For teaching, instruction. The Bible said the poor had the gospel preached to them. That's what he did. When he saw the dead, Lazarus, comfort. You can't see, receive your sight. You can't walk, get up and walk. Take up a pallet and go home. No wahala. But, sir, my problem, poverty. Ye. Why? Because poverty is you know, you know, just by the way, you see those children that you see on the road with their parents begging. Anytime I get there, you know what offends me? That these children are being raised to be poor. That this is generational poverty. Now, for your information, those guys are making money. This is Nigeria. They are making money. But the children are being taught, you are the tail and not the head. This guy is two. He's already running after cars. He's a little boy. He grows up a beggar. You can't lay hands and drive that thing away from his head. You can't. And it's a spirit. Everywhere he goes, he attracts poverty. Some of them think they are smart, begging, because they are making some money. Listen, working and earning is not about, it's a spiritual transaction that you are exporting substance into the life of somebody else. It's spiritual. That somebody's life is improved because you are alive. That's why God keeps you alive. Are you getting my point? That somebody's existence is easier because you are not dead. No beggar has that to brag about. He's literally a pest on everybody else. Therefore, God can never make him rich. You want that young man to grow up and be rich in life? That's why Oyinbo man will go and rescue, you know, societies that things work. They will go and collect the children. You want to beg, but they will collect the children from you. Because if we let you raise these children, you are going to raise another generation of beggars. So let's take these children and go and teach them how to read, how to write, how to walk. One day they'll be billionaires. That's what strongholds are. It is built inside somebody's head. He has a thought. He has a wrong thinking pattern. That's why God said, my ways are not, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You think wrong. And that's why God was so emphatic about it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was talking about marriage earlier. You talk to a lot of people. They don't want that is. You know, you hear women, you know, if you've seen frustrated women, counsel new brides. Have you never been there when a frustrated middle-aged woman is counseling a new bride? This is a time to get everything from your husband. That is, somebody just getting married. An older woman is saying to her, this is a time now you can enjoy your husband. That is, later on, you go, don't expire. You will soon expire. He won't give you anything again. You see the thought with which she entered into marriage. I am supposed to go there and get from him. Are you getting what I'm explaining? That is why she's not happy. That is why she's talking the nonsense in her mouth. That was what her mother taught her some 30 years ago. So when she was going in, she came in with that kind of attitude. After 15, 20 years, it has begotten for her the unhappiness she has right now. But she doesn't realize that it's not just that my husband is bad. I have a wrong attitude towards this thing. I have come in here thinking I'm a problem that he's supposed to solve. So we come in, he's supposed to take care of me. This upside down mentality we have is very, very ungodly. The point is this. I am not a burden to the man. I'm a blessing. I wasn't created for him to take care of. God created a garden. He said, guard it and keep it. When he saw that he couldn't do it alone, he now brought him a help so that two of them, are you getting my point? We do the work of God. So why should I marry now and say, this is the time to collect? Okay, if I collect, where am I carrying it to? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Okay, now I've collected from him. To where? You know, we walk in life. Listen, that's why, you know, Satan, Christians, you know, my teaching is how to deal with the devil in your life. Christians have, human beings generally, let me not talk about Christians now, human beings generally, they've created the place for Satan to thrive, and he's thriving all the time. By the way they approach life, their thought patterns, and then they now go to church and they want to rebuke him. And the devil is confused. The devil, you know why the confusion? He doesn't know whether he should go out or come in or stay out, turn left, turn right. Once they are praying, he gets confused. So when he's confused, he just stays there. Because, I don't know. You know, how do I describe it now? Okay, assuming you have a worker, you know. He said, I'm going to sack you tomorrow. And as it comes to work, he said, this is your new car. He's getting confused that time. He said, well, we just nice up the office for you and your wife. Next holiday, this is a ticket to Dubai. So they're like, excuse me, sir. I was due for sacking today, you know. I don't know whether you get my point. And you tell this devil you want to go, you are going away out of my life. And then you dress a nice room for him, buy him a nice car. Say, devil, in case you... If you want to go out when I'm not around, use this car. And you tell him, you are rebuking me. Guys, you are not rebuking me. Now, what is all this confusion? Why? Because with the mouth, you are rebuking him, but with the heart, you are welcoming him. With the thought pattern, you are saying, you are my friend. Are you getting my point? You guys have everything in common. Satan is just not a person that, you know, you just drive me away. Like that. He's also a principle. I don't know whether you get my point. So when you open the door, he has to stay. It has to stay. That's what we discussed last time. Strongholds. Strongholds are the things that glue the devil into our lives. People walk into life thinking that life owes them. And they're praying for prosperity. God says, wait. Why are you getting the heavens confused here? Those who are blessed with prosperity don't think life owes them anything. They come into life and believe that they have been sent by God to go and change things. People are blessed. They are not grabby people. That's why the Bible says there is he that scattereth, yet he increases. But there's one that withholds more than his meat and only tends towards poverty. It's a spiritual principle. I told you before, you're looking for a job. People say, all the witches in our village said I won't find work. They can say what they like. All the witches in my village also said I was dead. Am I not here right? I don't know whether you're following my point. They can say what they like. Anybody say what you like. It's the one I listen to and I believe that matters. Are you getting my point? Yes. So, this is the point I'm making. But the young man looking for work, he has a stronghold of don't employ me. What am I, stronghold? He has this attitude that when I get there, I must work as little as possible for as much as possible. And because I'm a university graduate, the country owes me a job. And if I make my boss a millionaire, he should pay me 2 million. It's an attitude. You know, it's inside the heart. That is, if I make him a million, he should pay me 2. So he goes around looking for work, and it's a spirit. And the spirit of frustration, all right? The satanic spirit of confusion and frustration likes that thought process. It likes that stronghold. So it comes and dwells in his head. And the man is wondering why things are not moving. And Satan says, it's not your fault. It's the country. If they had finished the second Niger Bridge 6 years ago, by now you'll be rich. So he's angry. Why are they just commissioning it? Can you imagine? Fuel was scarce for the last 1 week. That is why you're not making progress. Yes, it's Jonathan's fault. Can you imagine? Do you know why you're not making progress? You don't have enough planes for land in Enugu. Yes, it's civil aviation's fault. Everything, everybody's crazy. It's not me. In fact, I'm the only person that's normal in this country. The president is mad. Governors are stupid. The senators are crooks. The local government person is an imbecile. Let's make a long story short. In fact, Pastor Baki is confused. I'm the only normal person. All these my friends, they don't know anything. I am the only normal person. And the fellow walks around and is rebuking the devil. The devil said, I am not rebukable under these circumstances. Why? You have built a very strong place in your life for me to stay with your thought process. You don't realize that as a child of God, these things are not big enough to hinder your progress. You don't understand that if there's a problem in life, there's a solution that God sent into that place. Let me say this to you, women. If you will love your husband and pray for him, there's no how on earth he won't be rich. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Okay, there are more men here than women. But the ladies here, did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Just say yes. Love him and do what?
Pray.
That is, pray. You know the kind of thing, when he's going out in the morning, just kneel down somewhere and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, breakthrough in Jesus' name. Not, last week, look at Angela's husband. She bought her brand. Look, the man went to Dubai. 150,000 for the ring. In fact, you know, the guy just gets poorer and poorer and poorer. How won't he get poorer when you're supposed to help him, but you are now a problem in his soul? I just felt like dropping that. Because the woman was created to be a help. So that when the man is walking, somebody is praying for him. In this life, you need prayer. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You need prayer. If you are smart, you need prayer. If you are dull, you need prayer. There's nothing in you. You need prayer. Listen, there is no possible on earth. For if somebody says, I'm very skilled, skill is all I need, is a lie. Every man that has succeeded in life has understood something. With all my skill, I need what they call luck. They call it luck. They realize that they just have to be lucky. Harrison Ford said it. Nobody can rightfully claim credit for anything. He said there is luck and there is grace. Those are the two words he chose. Luck, we said, is a colloquial expression for the word what? Blessing. So if a man is going to succeed in life, somebody should be praying for him. You should pray for me. I'm preaching to you right now, and I'm asking you, pray for me. The kind of understanding Paul had, I'm not sure say some of us don't scratch near that side. Are you getting my point? But he said, he would not say, please pray for us. If Paul will ask people to pray for him, then prayer must be important. What I want to say, this is an attitude that brings forth prosperity inside the home. Now, can you believe it? Angelina's husband has bought a new Lexus for her. I don't know what's wrong with my husband. That's it. The man wake up next morning is confused. He doesn't know why he's confused though. That's the interesting part. He doesn't even know why he's confused. Just wakes up and he's confused. The second he was like, good morning, sir. He said, I don't even understand. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm talking about strongholds again. Please, is the thought process. Let me quickly sit. I'm trying to explain it. I need to sit on the solution. Do you understand? Because we're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. That's what we're talking about. How do I handle that? Remember I said something before? You are not under a curse. I keep on saying it. The fact that you've had problems 10 times means one of two things. It means you're a righteous man. No, let's have it 7 times. If you had the problem 7 times, you're a righteous man. Amen? The righteous man has 7 problems, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. And if you know the way the numbers are used in the scriptures, it just means righteous man can have problem anytime. That's me of the word 7. He can have problem perfect enough to lead to bankruptcy, but the Lord will still deliver him from it. So if you have problems, it's not a sign of a curse. Amen? That is clear. It also means simply that you need to learn how not to do it. That the way you were doing it is the wrong way. You need to learn a lesson. That's a winner's attitude. That's the kind of attitude that the Satan of poverty cannot stay inside. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. All right? Very, very important. Now, let me just explain something now. We're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. How do I drive him out? If this stronghold is a place where he hides. Remember, the Red Prince said that it's easier to learn something new than to discard that which one has had for a very long time. And that's why that scripture we read at the beginning is very, very important. The psalm we read, Psalms 25, quickly open back to it, and Ephesians chapter 1, both of them are very important. Of course, if disagreeing with God is a stronghold, holding on to ideas that are not of God is a stronghold, that means simply the freedom from it is truth. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and that truth shall do what? Set you free. That truth that you have known shall make you free. I said to you before that this is how truth sets free. Now, listen to this. Truth changes the way you approach life. Truth changes your thinking process. Truth changes how you make your decisions. Because remember when we read from that Psalm 25, David kept on emphasizing that God will show him the way, will show him the truth, open his eyes. He was saying that even if I was a sinner, all right, God will have mercy on me. And if God has mercy on me, what he will do is to reveal truth to me. That is, it is blindness that God uses to punish sinners. Are you getting my point? Yes, confusion. It's always like that. That is, when God wanted to destroy Absalom, he removed the wisdom of Ahithophel from him. That was the only way. If that fellow had followed Ahithophel's counsel, there would have been a problem for David. You are getting the point I'm making? So this is how Satan binds people. Once they have that stronghold, he sits in there and confuses them further. And they start making wrong decisions one after the other about life. I mean, very common. Look at businessmen a lot of times. Sometimes you look at people and say, this way you are behaving, poverty is guaranteed. See a man trying to scrape every naira he can get from his customers. Just so this one, poverty is your friend. That is, nobody said it's vexed. And check it. You come back 10 years later, he's still in that shop inside the market. Ah, customer, is it there? You know, how now? You know, just know that check the dimension of the shop. That's been the same for the last 10 years. I remember one man defrauded me as a little boy. I like that story. Not because I'm angry with him. What is it? I mean, they Christmas night they give you money and stuff like that. A friend of mine now conspired, collected our money and went to the market. And we're little boys. When I say little boys, we'll be like 8 years old. We now went to the market to go and buy something. Instead of him to drive us back home, say, two of you, go back to where you came from. I still remember very well. I was very small. Now, it's long ago. Very, very long. Of course, it has to be long if I was around 8 years, that about. Okay, well, if you give a child money, what will he buy? No big toy. I'm not likely to have bought a book. Assuming the toy was supposed to be like, okay, let me give him today's value. Maybe it's supposed to be like 500 naira. He sold it for like 3,000. Something like that. Now, the interesting part is that years later, when I was driving back to town, now, get my point. Now, I'm driving back to town. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying.
Yes.
No, get it now. I'm driving what? This is still in that shop. Yeah, I don't know what I'm getting the point I'm making. And I'm coming back, you know. This is the day of the Lord. I'm driving. There's a woman by my side. I'm married, you know, just driving. Look at the shop. Is he owned the shop? He's 20 years older. He hasn't prospered much. How can you prosper much? There's an attitude. Anybody that's always grabbing, has a mentality that the spirit of poverty loves. People of poverty say, this guy's our friend. He comes one day, he goes away, goes to bring seven demons more wicked than himself. Now, you see, poverty has some people more wicked than him. Should I name them for you? Let me not waste your time. It brings a kind of disease affliction. If you are poor and you are healthy, you are safe. You know that? You come poor, come get stroke on top, wahala. The doctor now says, sorry, he's also diabetic. That's another demon more wicked than the poverty. The comes wife will leave him, another one. Spirit of divorce, that's third problem, more wicked than the poverty. Why? Simply because he loved money. You know what I'm trying to say in all of these things? Let me just emphasize before we read this. The issue is that most problems in life, people want to tackle them by casting out Satan, casting out the devil. Meanwhile, the problem is that they have a stronghold in their heart that makes it impossible to drive out that devil out of their lives. I was talking about the importance of prayer earlier. That is why, listen, the Bible says every man's way is right in his own eyes. I hope you understand that. Yes, that's why people always argue. They will sit down and they'll be arguing because this fellow thinks he's right, this fellow thinks he's right. So two of them are arguing. So who is right? Let me summarize it. Nobody knows. The man who is sure he's right, the Bible says he should go home and also pray. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Even if you think you are right, and that's the solution to driving the devil out of your life in that area, you go home and you go and do what? You pray. Like we read from that Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said it's a simple prayer. He said, Ephesians chapter 1, quickly. Well, let me just read it. We've read it before. He said, this is a prayer. You pray that God will give you, you pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so you will know. Let me just summarize it there. So that you will do what? You will know. Listen, before, now, I quoted for you the other day about Derek Prince. Derek Prince said they had a meeting and somebody had a vision and saw an evil spirit, all right, that was causing confusion in their camp. So because they've seen it now, they said, okay, let us bind it. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you cannot bind that devil until you have done some work in reconciling yourselves in your relationships. And he said it took some few hours of intense negotiations, people talking to themselves, confessing, praying for one another. They had to do that before they were able to get rid of that spirit. And I can assure you of one thing, even if nobody saw that spirit and they did the same thing, the spirit will still have left them. Because Satan cannot thrive cannot stay where he cannot thrive. Are you getting my point? Where he cannot live, where he's not comfortable, he will not stay there. And that's why in life, before you start driving out demons, Satan out of your life, rebuking the devil, ask yourself, how did he get here in the first place? I was saying earlier, using marriage as an example, you talk to a lot of people, their thoughts and ideas about it is just wrong. That is just wrong. Wrong. I remember those days, I would talk to young women. I was single too, but you know, the Bible says that the aged are not always wise, all right? I was single. The Bible says there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I have studied the scriptures and God has given me some understanding. I will be talking to women, some of them married. And when I finish talking, you know all they have to tell me? That go and marry from your village. That's the only answer I will get. I remember one young woman once, she looked at me and said, sorry for your wife. That was the only answer I got. I was teaching Bible. And all she had to say was what? Sorry for your wife. Does my wife look like somebody she'd be sorry for now? And they have, listen, and they didn't have anything to say from the, any, in fact, no reference that will say what you're saying is not correct. I remember once, in fact, you want to give us an example, one of my friends. We're just talking about some things. But I try to explain the issue between of a relationship between a man and his wife, compared, that is, side-by-side relationship between him and his mother. Do you understand? When I finished, he looked at me. He said, do you know I'm an only child? I don't know what I heard. I said, I did not know until that day. We're just talking. You know, I was just talking about, you know, how a man, and we're both students. I think we're final year students then. But we're studying the scriptures and all of that. So I was just explaining some things from what I've learned from this Bible. When I finished, he said, all he had to say was, do you know I'm an only child? So I said to him, then go and marry your mother. And you are an only child. And go and marry your mother now. Or you remain single all your life. Now, the point I'm making is that I just were discussed, and he didn't say that, no. Are you sure the Bible said that? Is that the word of God? No. He said, do you know I'm an only child? That's what is called doubt. And you know, Satan doesn't care that you're an only child. Just disobey God. That's all he's looking for. You'll be an only child. Then after a while, you'll be an only husband. Are you getting my point? No wife. Listen. A lot of the problems we are chasing around in life. Satan, get out. Satan said, I can't get out. You've tied me down. Like you chain your dog and beat the dog. Get out of here. The dogs are, okay, you chain me for, come go out. He wants to go out too. Say, this dog, if you poop on this floor again, and you wee on this floor, there will be problem. So doggy said, okay, no problem. No more wee on the floor, no more poop on the floor. You give the dog food, give the dog water, then you chain the dog down. After a while, doggy will try not to do it, but what I'm going to say, you cannot cast out the demon you are holding down. It's not possible. I was trying to emphasize that. So people, you see, will gather in churches. I know some of you here go to such churches. May God help you and your pastor. You guys gather, and they have been for the last 3 days on Satan. The Satan that says that they will not progress. The Satan that is breaking their homes. The Satan that is making their children not do well in school. And they've been driving these Satans out annually since this church was founded 10 years ago. And they will still drive him out next year. What does that tell you? The guy is not going anywhere. Yes. Why is he not going anywhere? He can't go anywhere. He's chained down by their wrong attitudes. You understand? They have not taken the word of God. They've not settled down and said, all right, like I said earlier, you're a gatekeeper. Why is that my children, time they go to school, they become rascals? They never know anything. They don't concentrate on their books. The pastor has never taken time out to teach them that, one, your mouth, how do you use it at home? Most of the time, go to those churches, 90% are women, you know now. It's just the way life is. I don't know how God is like that, but women tend to like such places. 90%. So what I'm saying so is this. So you ask the women, this mouth, how do you use it towards their father? Because that's a very important example. The first example of respect for authority a child ever gets is the mother. So if the woman does yimu for the mother behind, you know what they call yimu? Cowbell. Is that what they call it? So the father will finish talking. Father says, okay. Nobody goes near the TV once it's 8 o'clock. He said, all right, then the mother and the child will do the cowbell according to you. The child won't know. The mother doesn't realize it, but she has opened a door for a disobedient spirit. That boy goes to school. He's very unruly. And that the teacher says, all right, tomorrow morning by 8 o'clock, the test will start. The boy will... He will call bell the teacher. Tell the colleagues, don't worry about it. No test is going to happen. He has a rebellious spirit. And the mother will come and say, hey, which kind of children are these children? No. And the spirit said that, they are our children. Me and you are raising them. That's the evil spirit. The pastor hasn't taught them to listen in their house. How do you use your mouth towards the kids? You will never amount to anything. How are you useless children? Satan said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, if you are too soft to your children, you mustn't be soft to them. You'll be tough on them. What's their own toughness? This useless boy, I told you to carry this in here. You are going to be a thief one day. You are going to be a thief. The boy says, be it unto me according to thy word. Listen, the boy tries to stop stealing, but there is a force working in his members, introduced by his mother and his father. His father is equally responsible because he wasn't there to tell the boy, you will not be a thief. So the only one the boy is hearing is that, I am going to be a thief one day. One day I'm going to be a mafia don. So he joins the cult just to become what his mother has prophesied. And the mother, the father, they don't understand what is going on. The truth is that they introduced a spirit into the home. They now go to church and they want to bind a spirit that they have not even stopped. The younger ones, they are saying, you will be like your brother. You are going to be like your brother. They are already prophesying. You are going to be like your brother. Eh? Don't worry. One day police will catch all of you and kill all of you. Your own children. But she doesn't realize. He doesn't realize that these words are powerful. They are important. Then he goes to church and says, let me bind the devil. And the devil is confused. He says, excuse me, sir. If you want to bind me, be serious about it. Bind me here. Let me go. Find somebody else to afflict. Because this one that you bind me in church, then you invite me back when we get home. Because when they finish binding in church, as they go back home, they have come again. All these useless children say, see now. When he's coming back, seven spirits more wicked. And the boys begin to beat their parents. And the man is wondering, what happened? My message to you, that why God sent me, let me go and tell you what happened. You invited the evil spirits. You have rebuked Satan enough in that church. I'm talking to a particular church, I'm sure. I didn't plan it. So your church, let me just finish your message. It's made it for that, your church. You have fired the devil enough. Holy Ghost fire does not work on the devil. I hope you all know that. We have agreed on that. Yes. We have scriptural proof for it. Who does Holy Ghost fire work on?
On me.
If it works on you, say amen.
Amen.
Let me pray a prayer for you. More Holy Ghost fire.
Amen.
On your head.
Amen.
In your job.
Amen.
In your ministry.
Amen.
In your family.
Amen.
Holy Ghost
fire.
Thank you. That's the proper use of it. So go back to church, tell your pastor that Pastor Banky said we have been misusing Holy Ghost fire. Why should we be arming our enemies against us? We are the ones that need the Holy Ghost fire. The blood of Jesus also, does it work on enemies?
No.
Who does it work on?
On me.
On my heart. Upon your life, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It washes away all your sins.
Amen.
It makes it impossible for the devil to hold you.
Amen.
We never apply the blood on our enemies until they believe. When they believe, we will sprinkle them with the blood of sprinkling. But until they believe, we own the blood of Jesus. We use the blood of you. We cream it. You know what I mean by cream it? In the morning, you rub it all over you, all your body. You'll be the shine. What you are shining red. Let me pray again. On your head, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
On your arms, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
On your chest, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Your whole body, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Washed away every sin, every affliction, every attachment of the devil is broken by the power of that blood in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so go back and tell your pastor, whoever it is I'm preaching to, that, sir, we have been misusing this blood. The main problem, we are believers. Our main problem is that we create a place for Satan to stay. And that's why he has stayed. That's why we have been praying for years to drive him away. We have not succeeded. Let me just drop this one, all right, so we can close. It's important for us to understand. You know, today when we started, we explained that what God gives us is understanding. Psalm 25. What God gives us is the knowledge of his way. So we want to drive the devil away in our lives. What we do is that we pray for what? For understanding. You know, Moses, God came to him one day. Moses looked at God and said, show me your ways. No, I used to read before that Moses, he showed his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. But like, God, why? Why the discrimination? Why don't you just show everybody your ways so that there will be no wahala in the camp? I found out later that they didn't want to know. They were not interested. Moses was the one that came and said, Lord, show me your ways. And God showed it to him. That's what I said at the beginning. Please, are you not praying for new tie, new shoe, new car? Listen, let me tell you the truth. You will get a car faster when you don't think about it. The first 1 month that there's no husband in your prayer point, you marry 2 weeks after that. It will happen to you the period you pray about something else. That's what I'm saying. You're looking for a job, enough of praying for a job. You know, God heard you the first day. So he says, the next prayer point, say, Lord, show me your ways. Give me understanding. How is an employee supposed to behave? You never thought about that. Say, Lord, now that you have heard me, please teach me your ways. How do employees behave that's worthy of the Lord? Remember. And I said to you again, before you finish, that is, you will have to beg. Please give me 2 more weeks. Let me finish this my retreat on how employees are supposed to behave. That's how God works. What did I say? That's how he works. The things we are focusing on as children of God, sometimes those outward material things, our focus on them actually drives them away from us. I hope you've gotten my point. I tried to conclude my message now, but the thing didn't conclude well, so we'll conclude it next time. This is how we deliver ourselves from the bondage of Satan. That stronghold is ignorance, is disobedience to God, and his lack of understanding of the order of God. It's having wrong thoughts and ideas in life. And the only way it can be broken is to fill the place with the right thoughts. Right ideas. Right perspective. Satan cannot stay where the truth of God is thriving. I hope you've gotten my point. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Say this with me and we'll close with it. Say, the Lord will conceal me when there is trouble. He will hide me in the sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Say like you believe it. He will place me out of reach of troubles. He will place me on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high. Above my enemies who surround me. Say like you believe it. I will never give up. I will always have hope. Because I know the Lord is on my side. Say I will constantly rejoice. I will be happy at all times. I will always have hope. And therefore, there will always be a smile on my face. Say it like you believe. You say, I declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He's my place of safety. He's my God. And in him I trust. He will rescue me out of every trap. And protect me from every deadly disease. He will shield me with his wings. He will shelter me with his feathers. I will not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor fear the dangers of the day. I will not be afraid of the epidemic that stalks in darkness, nor disasters that strikes at midday. Say, like you believe it, do 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, these evils will not touch me. Because I have made the Lord my refuge. Say, no evil will conquer me. No plague will come near my dwelling. God's angels are protecting me. Say, God's angels are protecting me. I will trample down lions, poisonous snakes, fierce enemies. I will overcome all of them. All the troubles of life, I am an overcomer above them. God will rescue me because I love him. He will answer me when I call. And he will be with me in the time of trouble. Say this and we close. With long life he will satisfy me. And he will show me his deliverance. He will show me his healing. and he will show me his prosperity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Make the last line personal again. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.